Tonight's passage is from Ruth chapter 3. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you. Well provided. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight, he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family."
"The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to, do his duty as your guardian redeemer. Good. Let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until the morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured it into 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." Amen.
Kate, can I pray for you?
Please, I would love that.
Father God, we thank you for Kate, and we thank you for the message that you've given her to bring to us today. We just pray that you will give her the words to speak to us and give us the hearts to listen. Amen.
Amen. Well, it is lovely to be with you tonight, wherever you are. Welcome to our service, our third service, looking at the book of Ruth. Now, I wonder if I can ask you a question, something to ponder as we start. What does faith look like to you? Who is someone who you have seen show amazing faith in some way? Who is someone who has faith, who's maybe cared for you or looked after you at a time when you needed it? I once, when I was 21, was living abroad, and it was quite a difficult year for reasons that I won't go into. And as I was walking here this evening, and I was thinking back to that time, I was thinking of the two families who showed amazing faith to me. There was one family, the Crews, and the dad was training for ordination, traveling over to Norfolk once every other month. They had very little money and three children, but once a week they had me over for dinner. And that was amazing faith to me, loving me, a stranger, and blessing me more than they could possibly have realized. And there was also another couple, Roland and Thea. They were the Prices, to speak up for myself. They showed also to remind me that I'm always God's servant. I wonder if there's someone on your heart that you're thinking of tonight who's shown amazing faith. Because faith is at the heart of the passage that we had read to us tonight. And we have these three different people's faith intersecting and showing different examples to us of what faith looks like in action. And the question which is at the heart of our passage this evening, Ruth chapter 3, is who will Ruth marry? Now, it could be a case of a single man in possession of a large farm must be in want of a wife. But actually, for Ruth, who she's going to marry and what's going to happen to her is a really live issue. As we've talked about before, Ruth is a widow. She's a foreigner. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, and her father-in-law, Elimelech, have traveled to Moab during a famine. Elimelech died, and then Naomi's two sons have married Moabite women. They're married for 10 years without having children. And then these men also die, and Naomi comes back with her daughters-in-law to Bethlehem. One of them decides to return to Moab. But Naomi is living in Bethlehem with her mother-in-law, trying to provide for her. In chapter 2, we saw her working hard in the fields, gleaning to gather food. And she's met this wealthy, noble character called Boaz. So tonight, we are going to find out who Ruth might marry. And the first part of our passage deals with what Naomi thinks. Then we have what Ruth sort of does. And then we finally have her at the threshing floor with Boaz. So let's think firstly about Naomi's plan. Naomi is probably worrying about Ruth's future. What will happen when Naomi is dead? Where will Ruth live? Who will look after her? And she says to her at the beginning of this chapter, "My daughter, I must find a home for you." And the Hebrew word for home is the word for rest. She wants to find rest for Ruth. And today we might use the language of so-and-so settled down with so-and-so, because there's this sense of security that Ruth will have when she gets married. But let's also remember that if Ruth gets married and moves to live in another home, then Naomi will be on her own. She'll have lost the last remaining member of her family. So her desire to secure Ruth's future has major implications for her own. And the lot of an unprotected widow in the ancient world was hard. So Naomi tells her to go and find Boaz, who is this wealthy farmer who she has already met. She tells her to wash and put on perfume. And I wonder if this is a little bit like a widow coming out of mourning. Probably one of our most famous widows who we will know from history is Victoria. Queen Victoria, she mourned her husband for 40 years. And in the Israelite world and in the Jewish world today, there are very strict rules about mourning. For a Jewish person, if a parent dies, they mourn for a year. In that year, they wear no new clothes. They don't cut their hair or participate in joyous events. And it's probably likely that Ruth's clothing would have denoted her as being a widow. So if she gets changed and puts on perfume and puts on her finest clothes, she's saying that she's past that time of mourning and she's ready to marry. And Naomi pushes her towards this man, Boaz. And she's very specific in the rules that she gives to Naomi. Uncover his feet, wait for him to wake up, and then let him do the talking. Because there's risk involved. We are talking about a single woman approaching a man in the dark, in a barn, after he's had quite a lot to drink. This is a risky thing for Nem and Ruth to do. But I think it's important for us to think that it's strategic risk-taking. It's thought through. And it's thought through not for herself, but for Ruth. And not by herself, but with God. Naomi, in pushing Ruth towards this barn on this night, is taking a risk, but taking it knowing and praying and hoping that God will take care of Ruth. And Naomi isn't afraid to suggest to Ruth that she does something scary. And that's because I think by this point, Naomi has woken up to her faith in God, and she's realized that God is around her, beside her, and walking with her. I think that by now, Naomi has realized that God has not forsaken her. So although this push for Ruth is a risky, scary thing for Ruth to do, it's not done with that in mind. It's done with prayer and with thought and with faith in God. So we've had Naomi's plan, and now we have Ruth's intervention, because Naomi hasn't taken into consideration Ruth, who we've seen doesn't really go along with the plan, because Ruth isn't just thinking about herself. She isn't just trying to secure a husband for herself. I was talking to someone this week about this passage, and she said, "But Kate, when I wanted a husband, I went on Christian Connection. When Ruth wanted a husband, she went to a barn," because it's a really different situation. Ruth isn't just looking for a husband. And then, and in this moment where she's in the barn, she approaches Boaz, she uncovers his feet, and she lies down. And in the middle of the night, he wakes up. And oh my goodness, can you imagine if you woke up and there was a woman, beautifully perfumed, wearing a gorgeous dress, she's lying at your feet? What would you think? I mean, it would be very, very strange. But Ruth isn't thinking about sex. She's not thinking about marriage. As we've come to know her, and I hope love her, we realize that Ruth is a noble, righteous, honorable woman. Because although Ruth has followed Naomi's instructions to come to the floor and approach Boaz, she's not there to find a husband for herself. She has come to secure her family's future. She's come to save her family. She's not thinking of herself. She's concerned with Naomi and Elimelech and their family name and their family land. Do you remember that Naomi said, "Wait for him to speak"? Well, Ruth does not do that. because she goes beyond what Naomi has asked her to do. She doesn't wait in silence. She makes a clear petition to Boaz. I am your servant, Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of the family. When she asks him to spread the cover over her, she's asking for marriage. And then she asks him to be their kinsman redeemer. And I'll just explain what these two things mean. Ruth is asking Boaz to purchase Elimelech's land and to father a son with her to become his heir and the eventual owner of the land. The writer, Robert Hubbard, who I've quoted before, says, Ruth sets herself up as the bringer of salvation in the story. With the Levite law, a man who died without an heir, his brother married and had a child with his widow. And that was the sheltering of the widow. And the kinsman redeemer is focused on the land. When a man fell on hard times and was forced to sell his land, the nearest relative or kinsman redeemer was called to step in and purchase the land to keep it from falling into someone else's hands. And do you notice that she says, spread the corner of your garment? As she does so, she's invoking the prayer that Boaz said to her in chapter 2. Because the Hebrew for garment corner is a word association with the Hebrew for wings of refuge. Boaz's prayer, he is now being asked to fulfill for her. She's asking him to be the means through which God can provide refuge for her. So Ruth, in this moment, is not thinking of herself, but of Naomi. She continues to be committed to the promise she made in chapter 1. And it's an amazing picture of her taking the risk that was set up by Naomi, but not for herself, but for someone else. And then thirdly, we've had Naomi's plan, Ruth's intervention, and thirdly, we have Boaz does even more. Because what could have happened? Ruth could have been raped. She could have been seen, and the community would have shamed her for coming to a man in the middle of the night. She could have been caught. But we hear him saying to her, "The Lord bless you, my daughter. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor." This word kindness we've met before. This word kindness is the word hesed. And it's the same word as Naomi described Boaz after hearing how he had treated Ruth on the gleaning field. She's a noble woman. And this reminded me of Proverbs 31, verse 15, which talks about the wife of noble character working in the field before daylight. He says, oh, well, you could have gone after a younger man. But he's realizing what she's asking for and is struck again by her honorable character. You see, Boaz and Ruth mirror each other. They're both noble. They're both kind. And they're both sacrificial and faithful. Because what Ruth is asking of Boaz is a big sacrifice. She's asking for an heir for her family. But if you remember, Ruth was married to her husband in Moab for 10 years before, and there was no child. And Boaz would know that. He wouldn't know the specific scientific reason for why there wasn't a child. But it meant that he's promising to give her something, and he's going to have a lot of faith in God. And it's also a big sacrifice that she's asking for him to buy the land, because he'd have to pay out from his own estate in order to buy the land. And if he had other children, that meant that the money that they would inherit would be siphoned off. But worrying about this sacrifice was not the Hesed way of doing things. It wasn't the way that God was calling them to love one another, to be faithful to God, and to be willing to make great sacrifices. Their behavior mirrors each other. It's like they have found their perfect match. Not because their online dating profiles net matched 100% because they all had the same interests, but because they were both as committed to serving others, and they came together to serve others together. And that is a beautiful picture of the way that God calls men and women to work together for the kingdom of God. Men and women partnering together, working together for God's glory and for God's kingdom. It's what God's plan for our world is, for the worth of men and women to be equal. But sometimes I forget that. And as I've grown up, I know that there have been moments when I have thought that God didn't love women as much as he loved men. And I was thinking about this week as I was talking to another ordained female friend. And she said before she got ordained, she thought God loved men more. And I said that for a long time, I thought that I hadn't seen women preaching because women couldn't really explain the Bible. But passages like this passage with Ruth and with Boaz coming together remind us that God loves men and women equally, and they have equal worth. So if you're a man who needs to hear that, then hear that tonight. And if you're a woman who's ever felt anything like my friend Sophie and I felt, then please hear that. And may I just tell you a few things that you may love to hear. Women were the last to be noted to stay with Jesus at the cross. A woman was the last to be directly ministered to by Jesus before his death. And women were the first tasked with proclaiming the news of the resurrection. We have equal worth. And Boaz shows continued kindness to Ruth. And maybe that's because he's remembering that his mother, Rahab, was another outsider who, like Ruth, helped to rescue her family by trusting in God. This passage is an amazing picture of faith for us today. As these three people's actions intersect on this starry night in Bethlehem, they radiate the love of God, and they show us what it looks like to live a life like Jesus. Not only that, but their actions on this evening help to bring Jesus to us. And I wonder if I could offer you a challenge for this week. We have Naomi, who gave away the last remaining member of her family to give her security, who took strategic risk in partnership with God. She was ready to step out in faith, to do something scary because she believed it's what God was asking of Ruth. And then we have Ruth, whose selfless love motivated her to seek to rescue Elimelech from the dead and provide an heir for his family so that they could be brought back into the family of God. And then we have Boaz, who honors and listens to this voiceless widow and responds by offering her kindness after kindness on top of the kindnesses he showed in chapter 2, who swore to God that he would save her family at deep personal cost. Why don't you take a moment tonight to think which of those three you want to pray into this week? Which of those three characters of faith from Ruth 3 you might like to ask God to help you be more like? Why is Ruth 3 in the Bible? I think it's to show us the character of Jesus, to show us what faith looks like in action, to help us to understand more what it looks like to live a life motivated by hesed, sacrificial love for others. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Naomi, for Ruth, and for Boaz, and for the faith that they showed in this passage. Help us now as we think about what we could pray for ourselves this week. Which of these three characters you might be asking us to seek to be more like as they have shown us more of you tonight. Amen.